Good morning. We're on Shavuot Daf Mem Daled. Okay, and it's actually Dam, right? I'm in the middle of the Makot, so it makes sense. All right, we're going to start just here on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet at the bottom. If we wanted to go back a little bit, remember we spoke about Shmuel. We had the whole idea of Shmuel. And the Gemara is like this: we're discussing over here the idea of the Pikadon. So the Gemara is like a Tznan. Let's just go back quickly. I know it's far back, but we'll run through quickly. Tznan, Selehil Biticha, and I've a Shekel Ayashal. I've gone back about 10 lines into the Amud, but I'll go through very quickly. So we've got to catch up. This was a Mishnah against Shmuel, because Shmuel wanted to say that if you've got a Pikadon and you lose the Pikadon, you've lost the loan. It doesn't make a difference. Value, not a value at the moment. I'll give you a Pikadon, a mortgage, on some sort of security. You lose the security, you lost your money. That's what Shmuel says. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah against Shmuel, from our Mishnah. We said, Selim v'ticha, la v'shekel ha'yalim, was worth a shekel. V'halo me'lo, ki ele selim v'ticha v'shlosha dinarim, it's worth 1.5 shekels. And he's chayev. So therefore he's chayev on a shvua here. He doesn't say here that he's chayev, that he loses his loan. Okay, so that's a tanya, that's against Shmuel. So Gemara says, Lema, le'haki bilta, you got your money, goodbye. So Gemara says, no, what's the difference between the Mishnah and Shmuel is Matitim at the parish where we expressly said that this loan is, and Rashi said over here, at the parish, right? Elo makablo alai ela b'chrayut d'mei shavu. I'm only accepting up to the value of the Shmuel, and if I'm responsible for the balance, but I don't lose the whole loan, I'm going to make you back up, make the difference, whether you pay back my loan, and we'll deduct the amount of what I lost of the Pikadon. And Shmuel says, but lo parish, right? Sorry, but the parish Shmuel is in a case where there's no parish, and therefore you lose the whole loan because you never specified. It was understood inherent in the loan that the Shmuel, that the money was guaranteed by the Pikadon. Lost Pikadon, lost the money. Shmuel said, Lama Ketznai, this is a Machlok Tanaim, and we bring a Machlok Tanaim from Bab Metzia. If you lend money to your friend with a security, if Avad Amashkon, the Mashkon is lost. Yishavav Yitur Amautav, do you remember that? Rabbi says, you make a Shmuel and you take your money. In other words, you lost the Pikadon. Okay, tough luck. Right? But you make a Shmuel, you still get your money back. In other words, you don't lose the loan. So we can see that Rabbi Eliezer is certainly not like Shmuel, right? Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yacholu Shiyomalo. He can say to the guy, what do you want? Klumil Vitani, Elal Maskon. When I borrowed money from you, I took it on the basis of a security. Here's my security, give me money. Avad Maskon, you lose my security. Avad Maotecha, you lose your money, you don't get it. So we see Rabbi Akiva here is clearly like Shmuel. I guess what we think. However, the writer says, if you lend money on a contract with a document, and there was a pledge as well, a security and a contract, even Rabbi Eliezer over here who says Yishava would say no, if you had the mashkon and a security and a contract, you'd lose your security. Why? Look at Rashi very quickly. Okay, there's no Rashi over here. It's Likutei Rashi, sorry. Rabbi says that everybody would agree, right? Why? Likutei Rashi at the last Likutei Rashi, it says the ha mashkon vadala govayna shaka likvotemena. Because why would you need the mashkon if you've got the shtar? When we understood earlier on, Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't lose your contract. Why? Because what was the mashkon as far as he was concerned? It was just to note that there was a loan. In other words, why did you? If you could never deny that I lent you the money, why? Because why would you give me this mashkon if I never lent the money from you? Okay, so it's basically like dvarim ba'alma. It's a rishon ba'alma. That's what he says. But when there was a contract, so I don't need the mashkon because the contract is the proof that you made me the loan. So why did I then take the mashkon? That's different. You get my money from there, and therefore, if I lost that, then I lost the loan because it's obvious you gave me the. This was as if you prepaid the loan, and if I never paid you back, then you take my mashkon. That's Rashi over here. V'yesh lo mehechan nikvot ubatuachu v'gam nichfor en yachik kon denah daha kai shtar. There's a shtar hilchach lav lezichron dvarim nakte. That's the important lashon. It's not for a zichron dvarim. It's proper govina to pay back from. Therefore, use it now. What's the case you're speaking about now? We're trying to price this machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva around Shmuel. So what is the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Heichidami. Right? He says, the Bach puts in there, if it's about a case, now we've got two certain possibilities. The value of the mashkon was equal to the value of the loan, or the value of the mashkon was not equal to the value of the loan. Okay? It was less or more, but not equal to the value of the loan. If it was the value of the zuzim, it was, I took a loan of money, and the mashkon was equal to the value of the loan, right? My time at Rabbi Eliezer. Then what's Rabbi Eliezer on about? Why does Rabbi Eliezer say yishva v'yitol? It's obvious that according to that situation, right, that I've got my money back. It was equal amount. The zuz, because yishva v'yitol means I'm going to make a shvua, get my loan back, and then pay you for the difference. But if the difference is nil, then what are we on about, right? So therefore, there can't be machloket in this case. Rabbi Eliezer is not stupid. Rabbi Eliezer would agree that in such a case, you've lost your loan, right? So therefore, the case must be elalav bedelo shaveh shiur zuzeh, that the mortgage now, the pledge is less than, I'm saying less. I said early on more, but it doesn't make sense more, because yishva v'yitol, if it was more, then I'd have to give you money. Right. So I wouldn't be a shvur to take. Right. Understand? So that's why I'm saying it's probably less.
It was 1,000. It's a big loan.
Right. We're speaking, and Rashi says, askidan. That's what we're dealing about. Well, the case is not that. And that's the machloket. The machloket is shvur. In other words, look at Rashi. Rabbi Eliezer laid a shvur. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. The mashkon is worth 50 and the loan is worth 1,000. And Shmuel says, you lose 50, you lost 1,000. Rabbi says, no, you don't do it. The Mishkon she'eno shave kol achov. You see, Yara, she'eno shave kol achov, which isn't worth the whole loan, meaning it's worth less than the loan, right? She'eno shave kol achov, en adam mekablo, ele lezichron dvarim. That's that Dikut HaRashi we saw early on. When you receive such a Mashkon, it's only lezichron dvarim. It's to remind you. It's shomer chinam hu alav. Therefore, the God like a shomer chinam. And a shomer chinam, it's part from Gneva v'Aveda. Right, so therefore you can't make him liable for it. V'yishva, what's his shvur that he makes according to Rashi? Rabbi Eliezer says he makes a shvur. V'yishva shelo pasha v'she'eno b'rishuto. He says two things. He says, firstly, I wasn't a posheya, right? Because he was a posheya, I'm chaya b'pshia. I wasn't a posheya, I wasn't negligent, and I haven't got it. I'm not lying. Remember, we saw early on that the guy might want it and think, oh, this is a cheap way to get it. Right? V'yito ko ma'otav, and then he takes all his money. So he doesn't agree with Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, because Shmuel's fair, because there's no, exactly like Shmuel. Sheleshei mashkon kiblu, why did I get it? Not as a zichron dvarim, not just as a token state that I have a loan against you. No, I took this as a source of my repayment. Aval hilvau elef zuz b'shtar, but that's in a normal case where there's no shtar. However, when there's a star, if Rabbi Eliezer modesh hamashkon shekiblu acharechen, even Rabbi Eliezer will agree that if you had a star, because he says the whole purpose of the mashkon is zichron dvarim. If you got a star, you had a zichron dvarim, right? L'shem mashkon kibel, and therefore you're going to pay the money from sharei enot tzarich lo zichron dvarim. Doesn't need it anymore. She ashtar lo right, because you got a star. That's very similar to the kiddush we learned on the previous amud. Okay, so therefore that's the machloket. But the Shmuel Kmitagam says no. We can't make this machloket tanaim a machloket around Shmuel. Now, obviously, Shmuel came long afterwards, right? When we said around Shmuel, we mean around the principle that Shmuel is speaking about, not about Shmuel, right? We'll see later on as well. We're going to bring Rabbi Yitzchak now, the next Tana. He also came, even though it was a Tana, he lived after Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So, the same idea, right? Who says, lo, but the law shavei. We try to make the kimta here that we're speaking about when the loan wasn't equal to the mashkon. He says, no. But the law shavai, when it's not equal, kule alma leit lehu de Shmuel. Even Rabbi Akiva wouldn't agree with Shmuel. In other words, according to this, Rabbi Akiva only holds with Shmuel when it's equal amount, because it's tit for tat, right? One for one. But if it wasn't in the amount, even Rabbi Akiva wouldn't say, listen, if they gave me a 50 shekel mashkon on a 1,000 shekel loan, that you lose the money. Even Rabbi Akiva wouldn't say that. Right? So therefore, we can't place it on that. We said it can't be on a case of when it's equal. That would be knocked out. We said when it's not equal. Now we say even when it's not equal, they all agree there's no Shmuel. So what is the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? V'acha b'neshov eshiu zuzay u'bed Rabbi Yitzchak k'mifiga. Ne machloket na is about a principle.
It says, late
lehu
Shmuel. Who doesn't agree with Shmuel?
Late lehu, both of them. Rabbi Akiva? Right. U'bed lo shove kule alma. Kaf ayin is kule alma. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Late lehu de Shmuel. Ne Rabbi Akiva, no Rabbi Akiva, I've got a Shmuel. Right?
Explain how Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with Shmuel?
Because Rabbi Akiva will say that he only agrees with Shmuel when the mashkon is equal to the value of the loan. Because it makes sense. You lost the mashkon, you lost the loan, because it's one for one. If the value of the mashkon was much less than the loan, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't say you lost the mashkon. Right? We want to say Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi with Shmuel. We're saying no, Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with Shmuel. Remember, it was us who said, us, the Gemara who suggested that Rabbi Akiva is Shmuel. Wasn't Rabbi Akiva.
Right, okay.
So the Gemara said no, right. So the Gemara said no. Right, Vahakab Shov Shuzu with Rabbi Yitzchak Miflegai. And what's Rabbi Yitzchak? Look at Rashi over there. Rabbi Yitzchak Miflegai. Rabbi Lezer, lightly. Okay, wait, before we get to that, a second. The Am Rabbi Yitzchak. This is what Rabbi Yitzchak says, right? And this is the Gemara Psachim. Any Gittin, any Kiddushin, any Rabbi Metzia. So we've seen this already three times, right? The Am Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin le Baal Chov Shekone Mas. Remember this. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, when I give you a pledge, I give you my car as security for a loan. The car is yours. You actually corner the mascot. Okay, I'm using your car. Right, Shneimar, how does he prove it? Because the Pasuk says over here, Hashem Tashiv Lo Et Avot. We're talking about a case there, right, in Dvarim, with a poor man who needs who lends you money, who borrows money from you, and he gives you his blanket or his pillow or something that he needs as security. There's a mitzvah, if it's a blanket or his simle, his clothing, to take it back to him at night and get it in the morning. If it's a woman, you can't get into her house. Right? Remember all the halachas we learned. So you've got to give it back to her at night, or you got to give it back to him in the morning. When he needs it, you got to give it back to him to use. So look what Rabbi Yitzchak says. Well, the Pasuk says, Hashem teshiv lo et ha'avot, giving back the avot, kevo ha'shemesh in the morning, v'shachav besal moto, right, kevo at the night time, kevo ha'shemesh when it sunsets, and he'll sleep in his clothing, uve'rachecha, and he'll bless you, v'lecha tihye tzedakah lifnei Hashem lokecha, for you to be tzedakah. You get the mitzvah of doing tzedakah in front of Hashem. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, amazing thing. V'lecha tihye tzedakah. Now, if it's not yours, start coming down. How are you doing in the stocker? You do stock with your own goods. You can't stock with somebody else's goods. I can't take your dress and give it to somebody else to wear and say, wear Ira's wife's dress and I'm doing a mitzvah. It's a geneva. I stole his dress. I can't give it to you to use. So here he's proving that he gets the tzedakah. It's his salma that he gives to the ani.
Doesn't belong to the...
Until the time that he
returns the loan. Yeah, exactly. Kodra B'Yitzchak, for the period of the loan, it belongs to me. It's mine. And that's why it's Dakai. Let's say the Ani's over here. And the Ani, I give the Ani money. And the Ani gives me their clothing. But the Ani needs their money at night. The borrower is giving me a mashkon. The lender comes at night and gives the borrower the use of the mashkon. And it's Doka. How can it be Doka? It's Doka because it's actually mine. I'm giving it to you to use. That's what B'Yitzchak says. Says Lochati is Dakai, Melo Konemashkon, Stakami Nilo. Says Mikan, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Lebal Hakov Shekone Mashkon. Now, if you Kone Mashkon, let's understand the implication. If I've owned the Mashkon and I lose it, so who's responsible? Me!
Right.
I can't lose my Mashkon and blame you. So you gave me a Mashkon for your loan, I lose it, and I say, okay, well, it's your fault. But why? It's not even yours. It's mine.
And he still has to pay you.
Exactly. So obviously, you still got to pay me back the money. But I lost the mashkon. So if the mashkon is worth the difference, we've got to give a cheshbon. Maybe this is the machlok of Shmuel. This is what I'm saying. This is the machloket. So this is the Gemara says. Maybe that's the machloket Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Right? Lechati yitzdakim enu kone mashkon melai. Mekar abal choshkotah. So the Gemara says, so what do you want to tell me? That lamed Rabbi Yitzchak tenai hi? That's the machloket tenai miya? That Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing about Rabbi Yitzchak? In other words, Rabbi Eliezer says, Yishva v'yitol. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, avad. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer says, we don't hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, it's not kone. And therefore, Yishva v'yitol, it's his mashko, not yours. And you were a shomer chinam. You weren't a kone, you weren't a balim. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it was yours, you were a kone, you were a balim, and therefore you were chayiv. And therefore, if you lost it, you got offset from the loan because it was you, you're responsible. That's what the Gemara wants to say. The Gemara says, what, Laimed, Rabbi Yitzchak, Batizbara? And you really believe that? You really think you can say that? Amor, was it? No, you can't say that. Why? The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, when did Rabbi Yitzchak say this halacha that you're a kone? Shemishkeno shelo b'shat halva'a. It was not at the time of the loan. What happened was, down the line, 2 years down the line, or 3 years down the line, you're suddenly panicking. This guy's not going to be able to pay you back. You go to Baitin, you go to him, he says, don't worry, and he pulls out a mashkon, and he gives you a mashkon to guarantee the loan. But it wasn't at the time, it was the loan at the time was given without a mashkon.
So
therefore, our machloket Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is what's going on at the time of the mashkon. Rabbi Yitzchak's whole halacha is down the line. It's a different scenario. We can't make the machloket Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak's not talking about the same case. Let's look at what I wanted to say. Look at Rashi there. Rabbi Eliezer late late Rabbi Yitzchak. The next Rashi there. Kegon alidei beitin. You see, it was beitin insisted. The b'hachi mishtaye kra. We understand the dichtiv elminei bechutz tamod va'ishvachol. We understand that with this case, if you look in the context of the psukim there, talking about that at a later stage, the guy came and brought him out to Mashkon, and he was standing outside, and he came and brought him out to Mashkon. Therefore, it wasn't tamod alone, right? So therefore, it's a different scenario. Right? So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak is speaking about a case of shelo b'shat halvato. Our case speaking about b'shat halvato. So the Gemara says the Ela. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak is mishkuno b'shat halvato. Mishkuno b'shat halvato. Mi amar? But why? At the time of the loan, would you say that they would argue? Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe Rabbi Yitzchak would say you haven't been koneh. And our case is clear at the time of the Mashkon, and therefore we know nothing what Rabbi Yitzchak says at that stage. We know only what Rabbi Yitzchak says afterwards, not during the time of the loan. So we can't place the words. Okay. So now, what is the machlok Rabbi Yitzchak going to give, right? So what's the Ela Mishkano Shelo B'Shat Alvato Kule Almelo Pligi De Itlehu Rabbi Yitzchak. See that? When it wasn't the time of the loan, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak. But we're speaking here about b'shat halvato, and therefore it's not so pashut. We don't know. So what is the machloket? U'b'shomer aveda kemiflega, and that's the machloket which Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchak. They're speaking about the notion of a shomer aveda. Now, what's a shomer aveda? I found something. There's a mitzvah of hashev teshivenu, right? You got to return lost articles. Thank you, or items, right? And now you've got this lost article in your possession. There's a mitzvah to look after it. So if it's an animal, you got to feed it. If it's a car, I suppose you got to service it. I don't know. If it's a book, you got to make sure the pages are aired and not going to go. So the Gemara's, now, be honest, this took me, I'm not lying to you, it took me about 15 minutes to understand this. But this morning, during davening, I looked through Ira's Gemara in English. It is so beautiful. Look what Danzel does here. I just had an English English art scroll. English art scroll puts in a word over here. The right here, it says like this, and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer argue over the status of one who watches a lost object, and they write in here, to whom a lender is comparable. And that was missing from our Gemara. But maybe if I looked, bothered to actually look on the right side of the page, would have been over here even. You know, I didn't even look, if I'm negligent. The English Gemara just puts in that little three words, and suddenly the whole thing is understandable. The Gemara is of the opinion that a Shomer Aveda is the same din as a pikadon, as a bala mashkon. Why?
A shomer of a pikadon is also doing a mitzvah.
Why? Because a shomer aveda is doing a mitzvah. Now we'll see in a second. A shomer aveda, because he's doing a mitzvah, we've got a principle. Osek be mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. We learned this in Bava Metzia. Now when we say he's patur from mitzvah, what do we say? There's even financial gain. Patur from his osek be mitzvah and his patur mitzvah. There are two aspects to this mitzvah here. One, he gets schar just for actual doing it. So he's already getting schar. So he's like, we'll see in a second. That might make a situation. I'm jumping the gun. Let's carry on. We'll see in a second. I'm getting too excited here. Okay, right. B'shomer Aveda, can we forget? To Itma, there's a Machloket HaMoraim here with regard to Shomer Aveda, right? And these Gemaras are all from Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. We've seen all these Gemaras before. Shomer Aveda, Rabba Amar Keshomer Chinam. Rabba says a Shomer Aveda, not a Shomer Mashkon, a Shomer Aveda, a guy who's looking off, he's like a Shomer Chinam. Now, why is he a Shomer Chinam? Because he's not being paid to do it, he's volunteering to do it, and therefore Shomer Chinam is patur from Gneiva Aveda. If it gets stolen or gets lost, as long as he wasn't a Poshaya, he's patur. Where are you from here? I'm doing you a favor. Mm-hmm. Right? But look at this. But Rav Yosef Amar, no. Because Shomer Sachar Dami, he's a Shomer Sachar. He's a paid custodian. Chayev b'gnev v'aveda. How's he a Shomer Sachar? So, why is he a Shomer Sachar? Look at Rashi. Schar Mitzvah. Wow. He is a Shomer Sachar. Why? Because he's getting Schar Mitzvah. Now, Schar Mitzvah, there's enough Kaminiya. There's Mamish Schar Mitzvah. So I was going to say, there's two ways to explain the Schar Mitzvah. The one is he's doing a Mitzvah, because the Torah says do a Mitzvah, Shomer Aved, look after it, and great, you're getting a Tikkun Shamayim, therefore it's Schar Mitzvah, and therefore that's your Sachar. But the other more practical provision, now, what's his Sachar? Osek B'Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. If an Ani comes knocking, this is Rashi Aved, look here. V'hamal v'hamashkon, Nami Mitzvah Avad. Right? So Rashi says, yeah, and the Malve al Mashkon. You see that this is the Rashi that puts together that the Shomer Sachar, that the Shomer Aveda is like a Mashkon. That's why the art scroll Gemara could write in there that the Gemara compares it. It's the Rashi Avia. But it takes you 10 minutes to understand it if you don't read the three words in English.
But if it's a mitzvah, he had no choice, because if he didn't do it, it would be an Aveira.
What's the Patur Min HaMitzvah?
So that, what's Patur Min HaMitzvah? And that is over here. Look over here. Look at the Kutei Rashi over here. Because Shomer Sachar, this is the Rashi from the Darim. He says, V'chaya b'nei v'aveda, the Shomer Sachar mitzvah hu. Why? Da'osek b'nitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Da'am Rav Yosef, osek b'nitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. V'lo b'ay le'mei tavlei pruta la'anya. B'shvil ota mitzvah shemekayev. If an ani comes knocking on your door, you can say, listen, I can't talk to you now. Sorry, I'm busy looking after this aveda. So I saved the money I would have to have given to the ani because I was busy looking after your aveda. I got paid. That's the money. I saved having to give tzedakah. Because if Ani came to my door, like I said a second ago, you go to fulfill mitzvah, otherwise you over and over. Ani, you can't send Ani away. You have to give him money. Ah, I don't have to give you money anymore. Why? Because I can't talk to you now. I'm busy doing a mitzvah. And therefore, you're a shomer sachar, and you got paid. And the Gemara understands that a mashkon in my presence, same idea. Just like I'm doing a mitzvah. A shomer, it works in a situation like this, if you go to the extreme, that a money lender can lend money, take a mashkon, and doesn't have to give an ani tzedakah because he's been looking after the mashkon. Right? You got it? He's got it better than all of us. Right? Okay. Right? Keshomer zachadami. So now the Gemara is like, so what are you trying to tell me now? Lame Rav Yosef Tanahi. So now look at the Gemara's question.
You can't open the door to see if there's an ani there because you've got to be watching
out
the mashkon.
Absolutely. You ignore the ani. Even if you see him coming down the path.
You should put a big sign in the front of the show. Shomrei
Look, yeah, we don't need to push a break. Yeah, we're busy davening, we're busy learning, we definitely part of a mitzvah, right? But here, this is a batlan. He's doing nothing, just sitting and watching his mashkon all day long, right? He's got his fleet of cars outside and he's leased.
Does the only apply if it's a monetary...
No, but also any mitzvah. Even a mate mitzvah is a classic example. What mate mitzvah? If you also have a mitzvah, in theory, if you're learning Torah now and it's time to daven tefillah, Mikra Adin, you part from tefillah because you also have a mitzvah.
I thought if someone comes in and asks for tzedakah, we have to give them. I thought.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But the concept of also look. Let's be honest. None of us are so machmir on also with mitzvah. When a guy says, "No, I can't talk to you now. I'm busy. Please go away." That's a decent way to behave. And a guy comes in and you treat him nicely and you have machnis orchim and you give him tzedakah.
Since safeguarding collateral is part of the mitzvah to lend money to the needy, one who does so is exempt during that time.
That's the ritva, right? Who's that? Who says it?
Doesn't say it. From other mitzvah that involve the outlay of money.
I think I saw this morning in Ira's Gemara here that that was actually the ritva. I think that was the ritva. He quoted over here. Both of them got a lot of to engage in for the mitzvah and receive no suitable benefit. See ritva. The Gemara presumes I saw that this morning. This is over here. Some of the exemptions involve monetary gains. Normally, he would be excused from giving charity to a poor person. That's the Likut Rashi, which we saw earlier on. The same is considered a financial benefit that renders the guardian of a lost article a paid custodian. Right? Where they write that this exemption applies only when the guardian is actually involved in caring for it. Since tending to a lost object is a biblical obligation, and in general, a reward is bestowed upon even those who do mitzvahs. The Torah imposed on the guardian ability of a packet. At the time of the load, he's performing charity. Let's see what you're reading over here. I think this is over here. So at the time of the loan, the lender is performing a mitzvah. Hence, he is then exempt from other mitzvahs and so has a monetary gain. Alternatively, since lending is also a mitzvah, a lender is rewarded by God for his beneficence.
Okay, so he gets...
So I mean, that's right. Remember, I said there's two ways to look at the market. Either he's doing a mitzvah and he gets a tikkun shamayim, or he's actually saving money. But I don't think that it's... you adding there, I don't know, I did say that lending money to a person is part of the mitzvah, it's tzedakah.
That's like another take on it, right? I was like, however you look at it, that's a... All right. So now, but look, there's an important Rashi over here from a learning of the sugya perspective. We just got this machloket here between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba says, this is nothing to do with our sugya, but just this is an amazing Rashi. Now, for those of you who come to the Rav Shir on Tuesday night on Rashi, you understand Rashi, right? He always says, Rashi's role, Rashi sees himself as a teacher. Rashi's not just here to explain pshat. So therefore, Rashi will throw things into the Gemara as a teacher to help you think on a different level sometimes than just pshat in the Gemara. Here's a classic example, right? We had a machloket now between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba says that a meshiv aveda is like a shomer chinam, and Rav Yosef says you're a shomer sachar, right? One says you're a paid custodian, Rav Yosef, and the other one says you're not a paid custodian, free custodian, right? And therefore, you're more patur. Now, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, right, when they have a machloket, Rabbi Eliezer says, Yishva v'yito, means that if you lost the mashkon, are you chayev? Couldn't Rabbi Eliezer?
No.
No, you get your money back. You're going to do a cheshbon, you owe the guy money, but I'm saying, but you're a shomechina. Where Rabbi Akiva says that if you lost the mashkon, then you've lost your loan. So it's clear that Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion here that you're more a shomer sachar. Right? So as far as Rabbi is concerned, there's no question that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer would have a machloket. The question now is around Rabbi Eliezer, around Rabbi Yosef. Now, I must be honest with you, I was a bit industrious yesterday, and I prepared a table on this, but I don't think we actually need it so much. Right? Because here we've got a case of Avad HaMashkon, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. So there we've got Rabbi Akiva says, Avad HaMashkon, Avad gone. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yishba v'yito. Now, let's look at that. When it's Rabba, so there's a machloket, because it's clear that Rabbi Eliezer says that you're a shomer chinam, because you aren't responsible. You aren't a shomer, you aren't chayav neveda. Where Rabbi Akiva says that for shomer chinam, you would be chayav, right? In other words, you're not a shomer chinam, because you're chayav, you're a shomer sachar. Now, Rabbi Eliezer over here, with regards to Rabbi Yosef, the question is with Rabbi Yosef, would there be a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva around Rabbi Yosef? Okay? And that's the Gemara's question here. Leimer de Rabbi Yosef tanahi? Is there also, it appears at first glance, yes, that Rabbi Eliezer is telling us there's a shomer chinam, not a shomer sachar. Right? Because he wouldn't be chayav over here. So it appears at first glance, there is a machloket around Rabbi Yosef. You with me? Clear, question clear?
Yep.
Look at Rashi. Leimer de Rabbi Yosef tanahi. Because it was such a short amud, I allowed myself to go a little bit, like leave our normal. Okay. Look over here. Rabbi Yosef tanahi. Watch Rashi explain the question. Would we say that there's also a machloket tanai between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva with regards to Rabbi Yosef? Because look at Rashi. Demilta de Rabba, with regards to Rabba, who says he's a shomer chinam, vadai tanai. There's no question that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva argue about Rabba. Do Rabbi Akiva late laid Rabba? Rabbi Akiva's hold of Rabba. Right? Because Rabba says he's a shomer chinam. He's a shomer chinam, he's patur. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're not patur, you've lost your loan. Now, how can you lose your loan if you patur? You obviously chayev to look after that aveda, after that mashkon. You lost the mashkon, and you chayev in losing the mashkon. So you can't be a shomer chinam. Is that clear? That's what Rashi says. And Rabbi Yosef, and when it comes to Rabbi Yosef, mi leima tanahi, would we say there's a machloket tanaim in Rabbi Yosef? Because mi matzi leukma Rabbi Eliezer kevatei, is there a way that we could establish that Rabbi Eliezer is agreeing with Rabbi Yosef? It was that even Rabbi Yosef might say that when I said Yishba v'yitol, right, under certain circumstances, but as far as Rabbi Yosef is concerned, he says that you're a shomer sachar, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would even agree here and there wouldn't be a machlok to Rabbi Yosef.
Rabbi Eliezer agree with
look, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says Yishba v'yito. Rabbi Yosef says you're shomer sachar. So Rabbi Yosef saying you're shomer sachar means that you're responsible.
It isn't just flip that. Rabbi says shomer chinam. Rabbi Yosef shomer
sachar.
Rabbi Akiva is more like shomer sachar because you lose it. Rabbi Eliezer.
So that's how we understood it. But that's right. The Gemara's question. Could maybe not? Maybe with regards to Rabbi is a machloket, but they aren't the flip. Maybe they're actually arguing over Rabbi. But we'll come to Rabbi Yosef now, because why would, what the scenario be? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Eliezer might even say, listen, when I said Yishba Vayito, I mean get your loan back. But if the loan is worth 50 and the mashkon is worth 10, you were responsible for that 10. And you were a shomer sachar on that 10. But when I said Yishba Vayito, all I meant was get your loan back and now pay him back the 10. So you are a shomer sachar. Well, we understood previously that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, no, in fact, you're not the mashkon, is you're a shomer chinam. And therefore, you're not responsible for the mashkon. And if the loan's 50, I want the whole 50 back. And I was a shomer chinam with regard to the mashkon. I'm not chayv on the mashkon. And therefore, you just lose out your mashkon. Maybe no. And Rabbi Eliezer said, no, you've got to pay him back the mashkon difference. You're still a shomer sachar. So it might not be just the flip side. That's the Gemara's question. That's Rashi, I think, in this question. So Gemara's like this. Leima, Rav Yosef Tanai. So what's his law? No machloket Tanai here. B'shomer aveda. The kule alma itlehu de Rav Yosef. You see that? When it comes to Rav Veda, even Rav Eliezer holds like Rav Yosef, but you're a shomer sachar. Right? Vahacha, so what is the machloket now between Rav Eliezer and Rav Akiva? Vahacha b'malve tzarich lemashkon kemifligai. It's another whole situation. Where the malve, he needs the mashkon. In other words, I'm a farmer, I lend you money, and what's the mashkon? A tractor. Now I need a tractor. So I make a deal with you. I said, there's no problem. Obviously I can't use your tractor for free because it will be ribbit. Because I'm getting interest on the loan. Because I've got the mashkon over here and I'm getting the use of your tractor, which is over and above the value of the loan. If I'm going to say, I'm going to pay you for the use of the tractor. Or I pay you for the use of the tractor in monetary terms. Or I say that use of the tractor every day is worth X and your loan diminishes. When we saw there was a call, the mashkon, we learned that. Surah. Oh, brilliant. Oh, well done. Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Oh, that's nachas. Okay. Very good. Right? Mashkon de Surah. Excellent. I knew there was something that just came to me now. I couldn't know what it was. Okay, doesn't matter. Right, we still remember that was Mashkon de Surah. Mashkon de Surah was that you use the mashkon and it reduces the value of the loan. Right? So maybe that's... So here, b'malve tzarich l'mashkon kerif l'gay. Ma'ar sabar mitzvah ka'avit. So now still, nonetheless, Mar Savar, that even though you're using it, it's still a mitzvah that you're doing, right? And therefore, if it was a mitzvah, still getting a mitzvah, then it's a shomer sachar. I was, even though, right, I was getting, I'm doing a mitzvah, still looking after your mashkon, even if I'm using it, still a mitzvah, and then a shomer sachar. Mar Savar, la mitzvah kavit. No, the fact that I'm using it is for my purpose. So I'm not looking after it for your purpose. Looking over it for my purposes because I need to use it. So now I'm no longer a shomer sachar. Now I'm a shomer chinam. Right? And then so the Gemara says, well, and leimek ketanai. So maybe now we can say, oh no, that's the end of the sugya. Okay, full stop. That's what we get up to. That's the story over there. And now the Gemara goes back to Shmuel. Right? And another, because Rashi says, leimek kihani tnai had a Shmuel. Rashi says, had a Shmuel. Now we go back to Shmuel. So now we ended up with that sugar that Rabbi. Now the question now is with regard to Shmuel Bichla. Remember, Shmuel is the one who said, Avada Mashkon, Avada Halva. Right? You lost your money, you lost your Mashkon, lost your money. So Gemara says like this. Lema Ketanai. Let's say that this machloket about Shmuel is another Tanai. Amavid Chaver La Mashkon, Menichnes Shmita. Right? Now this is very interesting. You lend him a mashkon, and now Shmita comes. Now, what we know with Shmita, when you get a loan of person and Shmita comes along, what happens? The loan goes. Meshamet, right? You knock out the loan. There's a chiddush over here. Right? Look at Rashi there. Hamalve ala mashkon. Look at that Rashi there. Almost in line with the Gemara. Ein Shmita meshamteto. Shmita doesn't knock out such a loan. Why? De ein kan mishum lo yigos. Sharei einu nogso. In Shmita, there's an issue of lo yigos. Right, you aren't allowed to cause a person suffering and go into their pen and take away their stuff and etc. Now, if a person's really put up a mashkon, he's really prepaid the loan. If he's prepaid the loan, then you aren't now going into his assets and doing anything because the money's already set aside. It's yours. So if it's your loan, it's already been repaid, and therefore a loan like that, Shmita doesn't knock out.
It's because of the pikadon?
Well, the pikadon. The mashkon.
Yeah.
It's a mashkon. I lent you money against a killer collateral. Yeah. Right. Not a pikaron. A pikaron is a... Right. So he says, Hamavach ver ala mashkon. Vinichza shmita, afa pi she eino shave ele palgan. He has a machloket tanai. even though the mashkon is only worth half the value, eino meshamet. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that you don't need to have in order for Shmita not to take effect, the mashkon doesn't have to be the whole amount. Even if the mashkon is half the amount, it's still okay. Now look at Rashi here for a second. Eino meshamet. Lekaman mefarish. Later on, we'll see. Says the Rashi, ibahu palga kamar. If Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel meant only the half isn't meshamet, but the other half you do lose. Or the whole law, chov. Okay, that's not clear yet. When Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you don't lose it, the question is, what's he speaking about? Is my whole loan secured even by a small amount? Or is the only the amount covered by the loan, by the mashkon secured? Okay, that's we'll see that in a second. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, right? Im haya mashkono keneged chovo, in other words, equal, I think, eino meshamet. Ve'imlav meshamet. So we can see over here already, right, what's happening here. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that meshamet or eino meshamet, Rabbi Yonasi is quite clear that if you got the whole amount, not meshamet, not the whole amount, meshamet. That's how we understand it at the moment. The Gemara says like this. My eino meshamet tekama tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the tanakama said, eino meshamet. What was he speaking? This is the Rashi now, right? Ilay mekenegdo. If we're speaking only about the amount, which is equal to the mashkon, right? When he says kenegdo, you can imagine, right, that you've got 50 and 50, and the mashkon's only kenegdo that one's unsecured, okay? I mean, if we're saying that Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel are speaking about only the part that is kenegdo, michlal Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi savar kenegdo nami meshamet. Then we understand Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi saying, because there's a machloket between them, that which amount, right, is not meshamet, the amount of the mashkon, and therefore even the amount without the mashkon is meshamet. And Rabbi Yonasi says, no, I don't agree with you. Rabbi Yonasi says that if you haven't got a mashkon on everything, then the whole loan is knocked out, even the amount that was connected the mashkon. You with me? Is that clear what I said? Didn't sound too clear to me. Is it clear? Okay. So if that's the case, if Rabbi Yonasi is of the opinion that even if the loan isn't for the whole amount, then even the amount that has got a mashkon is lost as well. You lose that loan. Elamai, amai tafis mashkon. Why did the guy bother taking a mashkon? Because the mashkon is no use for me. Because if the mashkon would have at least secured the amount of the mashkon, I understand why I took the mashkon. If the mashkon had helped me for anything at all, then why take the mashkon? I'm going to lose the loan anyhow when the Shmita comes. I'll give you a 5-year loan. Shmita comes in the middle. Now I lost the money, so why bother with the mashkon? It allows, so the Gemara says, no, can I get kulo? Rabbi, right? Look at Rashi there. It allows, can I get kulo, Kamar? Tanakama, eino meshamet. When Tanakama said, when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said you don't meshamet, he meant the whole loan is not meshamet. Even though the mashkon's only half, your whole loan is secured. Even it says if he's having it half. And this is Shmua, by the way, right? Because this is the corollary of Shmuel. It's the other side, because Shmuel said that you lose your loan. If you lose the mashkon, you lose the loan. So Shmuel's telling us, doesn't matter what the value of the mashkon is, if you lose the mashkon, you lose the loan. This is the parallel to Rabbi Rashbag in Shmita, that the mashkon doesn't have to be equal to the whole amount of the loan to secure the loan. It's the exact opposite of Shmuel, but the same principle. That a small amount causes you damage for the whole loan if you lose it, and vice versa, a small amount can secure the whole loan if it's a Shmita year. Okay, that's the connection to Shmuel. Right? That's the machloket. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, no, we don't hold of that. A small amount doesn't protect the whole loan. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, a small amount doesn't protect the whole loan. And that's Shmuel. He says, no. Lo'olam kenegdo. We're only speaking about kenegdo. Don't think that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is speaking about the amount more than what's kenegdo. Even Rashbag says, you only guarded up to the amount of the mashkon. This is the machloke between Rashbag and Rabbi Yonasi. Tanakama savar kenegdo. Rabbi Yonasi savar kenegdo nami meshamet. So now we've got a question on Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, because why did you even bother taking the why did you bother taking the mashkon? Ude kamar gamai tafish le mashkon. What's your answer? Le zichron dvarim ba'alma. Just as a zichron dvarim, so that if there was a chance that maybe the guy would, I don't know, Shmita, before Shmita came along, he'd have some money and you go get your money back, and he'd say, no, I don't owe you the money. He'd say, well, why did you give me the mashkon? Okay, hadranalach shvut hadayani.
He doesn't have to repay the loan, but he has to get his mashkon back.
Yeah, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, everything, and according to Rashbag, the amount of the mashkon he wouldn't be able to lose, but the balance of the loan he'd have to repay that to get his mashkon back. The balance
would he get only half his mashkon back?
No, he'd get his whole mashkon back, provided he paid up to the loan for the value of the mashkon.
Yeah.
And on the balance of the loan he's patur from, he wouldn't have to pay. Okay, anyhow, this is the first time in three prakim that I've ended up this parak at least not limping through badly beaten and bruised and damaged. Okay, let's go quickly now. New Mishnah, right? This is not the last Mishnah, eh? Not the last parak. Okay? There's still more. There's Shvi, and then there's still Shmini. There's the last parak is one daf. Daf mem tet is the last parak.
Yep.
Just within a daf, hey? The short parak in Shas? Really, eh? Okay. All right, so now new Mishnah. Now, up until now, just a very brief introduction. We spoke only in the last parak about Moriv Mitzat, right? Which was a shvur doraita, right? We had a couple of shvur doraita, right? The shvur doraita that we had. We had Moriv Mikzat, Shvuot Eid Echad, and Shvuot HaShomrim. So we've seen Shvuot HaShomrim, we've seen Moriv Mikzat, Shvuot Eid Echad. We didn't really deal about it in too much detail, but Shvuot Eid Echad, if you only got one Eid, you're going to make a Shvuot with the other Eid, right? But now we're mainly speaking about Shvuot of Durabanan. The big difference between Shvuot Durabanan and Shvuot Doraita, which we've seen as well, right, are who makes the Shvuot, right? Remember, because according to the Torah, you make a Shvuot in order not to pay. You always make a shvuah, and it's like I make a shvuah if I don't have to pay. And a shvuah rabbanan, we saw like a shvuah at hesait and stuff. It's the same thing, but the rabbanan could make the shvuah the other way around. You make a shvuah to get your money. We saw like a shvuah sachar. We're going to see now in this passage where guys haven't been paid, and we'll see now in a second. And a shvuah guys been damaged, and all these shvuah rabbanan. There's a machloket in the introduction here. He brings a machloket here, whether just like in a shvur doraita, you have to hold a chayfetz, like a tefillin we saw, or a sefer Torah or something in your hand. Do you have to do the same thing with a shvur derabanan? Seems that most people say yes, some people say no. It's a machloket. We still haven't really established whether you have to say Hashem's name or not, right? And we've seen it's also a machloket. The question is, if in a doraita you don't, maybe in a derabanan you don't have to. Okay, that will see. We don't really cover that too much. Okay, let's move. Kol nishba'in shabbat Torah. So this is the Mishnah says, all the shvuos of the Doraita from the Torah nishba'in velo mishalmin as a rule. Mm-hmm. But we saw there was a case of mahapech shvur. Remember, if you were a choshet. Okay, see the second. Ve'elu nishba'in ve'notim. But in our sugya here in the drabanans, right, it's other around. You make a nishba and you take, not nishba and not pay. Sorry. Nishbin v'lo meshalmin, v'el nishbin v'notlin. Right, exactly. In our shvua, but elu, nishbin v'notlin. You make a shvua to get something. So normally it's a shvua not to give, here it's a shvua to get. Okay, that's the idea. And one of the examples, hasachir, an employee, right? V'hanigzal, a guy who's been stolen from, something stolen from him. How do you say hanigzal in English, by the way? The stolen, the victim of theft. Yeah. Okay, it's a long word, eh? Nigzal in Hebrew, just nigzal, the victim of theft, okay? V'hanichbal, and you're a victim of beating or assault. U'kashenegdo chashud l'shvuah, and again, when the guy who's meant to make the shvuah is a chashud, we don't trust him, therefore we put the shvuah on the other party. V'chen v'ni al pinkaso, okay? And v'chen v'ni al pinkaso, look at Rashi, the second last narrow lines of Rashi, the chenvani apinkaso, amasha katuba pinkaso, shu kotev alea, hakafot shu mekif. When a guy buys on credit from the chenvani, he keeps a record in his books. And now you come to the chenvani, right? And we'll explain exactly what the circuits are, but the principle is that the chenvani claims money. You say, I don't need that money. He said, look, it's in my book. And the principle is that he should have written it while you were in front of him, and therefore he has to make a shvuah. Okay. We've seen this before. And now the Mishnah says, follows, "Asachir ketzad." What's the case of the employee? So Amar lo tenis charish eshti biyadecha. Pay me what you owe me. You owe me my wages. And who omer natati? And he said, "But I already paid you." Bahal omer lo natalti. But what do you mean you paid me? I never took it, right? I never got it. So now the Bach changes that who there to harei ze, right? And he says in all the examples, look at the Bach there, Natalti, harei ze, nishpa, v'notel, kein tzarich lomar v'chein besamuch. So to read it like that in all the cases, right? Harei ze, behold, this is the case, he says, of nishba v'notel. I make a shvu, I haven't got my wages, and you got to pay me, take my wages. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says, even this concept here of the nishba v'notel, only when does it apply? It has to also be a type of a modeh b'miktzat. Okay? Kaitzad, what would the example be? Amar lo, he says to him, Taniz chari, 50 dinar, sheshti b'yadecha, you owe me 50 dinar. And he says, what are you talking about? V'omer, kabalte dinar zahav, you got a dinar zahav. Now, dinar zahav is 25 dinar kesef. So he says, you got half the wages. He says, you owe me 50 dinar. He says, you got 25 dinar. Or a case of nigzal. Let's go now to the next case. Kate said, how would it happen? A guy who's a victim of theft. The sheriff arrived, or what do you call it in Israel? Hotza'ala po'al. You know, what do they call themselves? These guys that come and bang down your doors to take the money away. God forbid, but a person owes money, they come take your fridge and your TV, whatever the case is.
Repo man.
Right? He said, permission. Right? And now the nigzal, this victim of the theft, says, Kelai natalta. He says, you took my kelim. And he says, Omer lo natalta. I never took anything. And then, Hu nishma v'notel. He says, he makes a shvua and he takes it back. Now, when he says nishma v'notel, the guy says, I didn't take anything. And he says, you make a shvua and you take it back. How do you take something back if he says he hasn't got it? I don't know. Right? But obviously, we'll see in the Gemara what the case is. Rabbi Yehuda, and this again, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It only happens if there's a bit of a hodah. It's a bit of a mitzat. Kate said, how would that happen? Amalo, shnei kelim natalta. He says, you took two kelim from me. No, I only took one. In that case, you would make a shvua. Okay, same idea. Nechbal Kate said, a victim of assault. How would it happen? He said, look, when these guys took me away, they took me for interrogation. Right? I was a completely happy, very fully functioning, no injured party. When I left the interrogation room, I couldn't walk. Right? He was limping, broke when beaten up. And he says, you beat me up. I never beat you up. He has to make a shvu and he gets paid his damages. Rabbi Yehuda made the same thing. He has to be a bit of a hoda'ah. Kate said, how would it be? You beat me up in both my arms. I beat you with one of your hands. Right? And I think let's end off over here.